You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
You're listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. The voice of the valley. Got a bit of a croaky old voice. I was out yesterday. I don't think I've been talking too much. But anyway, we're here, and of course, being the second Wednesday of the month, is our legal team has come in from Hutchinson Legal to give us some answers about legal questions. And I have been asking people to mainly try and keep into wills this week, because we've got with us Madeleine, who is an expert on wills, so she tells me. No, she is. And we'd really want to. We've had a number of phone calls between now and last week when I found out that Madeleine would be here. So we really want to talk about wills. And if we don't cover what you do, what you want to hear, give us a ring very early on 59615991. 59615991. Greg's out there. He'll bring the questions in. But we have got a number for them already. Anyway, we have Madeleine and Helen. Welcome, ladies.
Hello, Ellen.
Hi, Alan.
Good to be here.
Madeleine, when whoever was here last month, I can't remember who it was, we sent them away. We'd had a question about a grave, about how many people were allowed to be planted in a grave if a family's bought the plot, and who gets the decision to decide how many are allowed to be there.
Okay, well, the second one's the easy one, and that is the all-important question is that the executor has control of the body. The executor named in the will has control of the body from the absolute second that a person's died.
So not just the assets, they actually have control of the body as well.
That's right. It's a common law principle, and that is the person, which is why it's so important who you appoint as your executor, because it is a very important role. Yep. So the question is, or the problems start when there is no will, or can start. And if it's a reportable death which has gone to the coroner's office, which is in circumstances where a person dies on the operating table, for instance,
or has had a history of illness or anything like that?
No, there's certain sort of criteria of what reportable deaths are, one being a crime where the police are involved, then it has to be reported to the coroner's office, and often the body goes there for investigation or autopsy or whatever. So if there's no will and it goes to the coroner's office, there's a list of people who the body will be released to.
So that's just...
Yeah. But if the problems are if it doesn't go to the coroner's office and there's no will, then it's the person with the greatest interest in the estate.
Well, we've got a few doozies we're going to ask you as we go along there.
Yeah.
All right, so then, but how many are allowed to go in a grave?
So Helen looked at that.
I can answer that, Alan.
Yep.
So that varies between grave sites and different cemeteries and their rules. So it's really up to them, actually, the cemetery itself. Commonly, though, it's three people maximum in a certain grave site, but that also depends on how big that is and what kind of grave site it is. There's, like, monumental ones, there's lawn graves with a headstone, there's just various different types, and you can fit two people, three people, four people even, if you have a crypt and there's a whole family who want to be together.
Mainly no more than four, though, is what we're saying?
Yes, I think no more than four. But you can also talk to the funeral directors or the people at the graveside and they can arrange something.
So I'm an executor, but it doesn't stipulate in the will that... so therefore the executor's got no say over the grave. Can someone in the family say... No, we won't touch that because I've got a real question that we want to ask later on. All right, so basically it's up to the cemeteries, but generally no more than about four. That's what we want to know.
You're listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Community Connections and the Legal Hour. We're talking to Madeleine and Helen. As I said, if you've got any questions. Well, I'd mainly like to stick with wills today while we've got Madeleine here. Give us a quick ring. Greg will bring them into us on 59-615-991. But we do have a variety of ones we already cover. Righto, Madeleine, we're going to now put you to the test. We've got... They're all based, or the, no, they're not all, but most of them will base them on the fact that they were young people, 20, 25, married, had children, right? So we'll take that as a premise unless I say otherwise.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got this one where it was a guy who rang me. His mum and dad divorced when they were about 40, 45, so they were still reasonably young.
Yeah.
Dad went off, and which I shouldn't say this, but often winds up with a younger woman, and she didn't have any children, so he started a new family.
Mm-hmm.
No problems. So he's now a few years in, and he's been talking to his children from his first marriage, and he said, well, you can all get stuff. When I die, I've written you out the will. You had nothing to... I don't think you supported me enough when your mother and I divorced. I've now got two children in the, with my second wife, and... That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Now, the guy rang me and said, well, is that true? Like, I mean, I know he's allowed to do what he wants to do in his will, but is that... Now, and I said to the guy, and I want to get this out really quick, smart, we're not going to make any judgments here in this next hour on relationships. That's not... We're here. We're only to talk about
absolutely.
The law. So... He wants to know that, A, is there anything that... Well, his father's still alive.
Yes.
Is it when that happens, is there anything that he can do about it, or is it just tough luck?
There are things he can do.
Right. So,
as you said, the basic premise is a person can leave their assets to whomever they wish.
Yep.
However, there is legislation in place whereby someone can make an application for further provision if someone had a moral obligation to make provision for someone and they didn't make sufficient provision.
So are we talking that he would have a moral case, the fact that...
So there's a select group of five people, and in Victoria it used to be anyone could have a go, but
yep.
it got really slashed down in 2015. And now there are only five eligible people without conditions. There are more if there's conditions, like
yep.
they're dependent on the deceased or something.
Yep.
But in the first instance, an adult child is one of those people.
Right.
And there are a spouse, obviously. A spouse, an adult child, a stepchild who treated... Oh, sorry. I'm putting my finger up in the air. Stepchild who... treated the testator as a parent, and there's a couple of other.
Would he have to prove that he's had contact with his father? Because the way I gather, the father isn't having a lot of contact with him because he sees the new family as that.
Yes, so that's the first threshold is the eligible people who can
yep.
make a claim. Then there's lots of other things that the court will consider, one being the character of the relationship. The overwhelming one is the needs of the applicant. So if the adult child is a millionaire and or has several houses and is perfectly well established, he probably shouldn't bother.
Right.
And unfortunately, it almost rewards people who don't make their way in life. So
which is a bit unfortunate.
Yes. If he's struggling and on a pension and whatever, no house or whatever, his needs will be great. So, and they might be greater than the later children of the testator.
So you've spoken court. So the only way he could progress this would be after the father dies, you'd have to contest it in court.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, you have to make an application to the Supreme Court for further provision.
So now we've got... This other one is almost the opposite. Same thing, they married, when I say young, just, you know, normal, 20, 25, something like that. They've had their children and the divorce is later in life. So mum and dad go off their way. It seems to be dad seems to be the problem with this. Anyway, they've gone off and the dad has married a woman who has already got two children.
Yeah.
So he not he hasn't created a family. Now, the stepchildren, and it was the girl who rang me or the woman who rang me, she and her brother have treated the stepdad like they were the dad. And chopped out their own dad a little bit to, because they wanted to make this stepdad work. Now, only a few weeks ago, she heard Mum and Dad having a bit of an argument, and Dad said to Mum, when I die, like I'm getting, they were talking about making their wills, and he said, well, when I die, I'm not leaving anything to any of your kids because you created them and your ex-husband, that's your problem. I'm going to leave all my money to my original kids.
Yes.
And this girl is terribly hurt. And again, I said to her, look, we don't want to judge the situation, but she wants to know, is she precluded or what happens there?
Well, again, as I said, if she's treated him as her father and, and he's treated her as his daughter, that gives her grounds to claim as a child, as an adult child. So the court would probably say he does have a moral obligation to make provision for her.
Yep.
And she is one of the eligible people who can make a claim, so that's two thresholds she's got over.
Yep.
And then she would need to, like, what he put in his will is the new legislation says that must be considered. It used to say it may be, but now it must be considered, his wishes in his will. So they weigh up all these things and the relationship they had and her needs.
Yep.
And what other things will the court look at? Lots, just about anything that you can think of might be relevant to whether they should make a claim or not.
So
contribution to the assets is another one.
She's not a child now. She's an adult.
But these are the sorts of things. There's a list, half a page long of things the court will consider.
You're listening to Lawyers Grapes and Gripes. Naturally, any information you hear on this program is of a general nature only, and so it shouldn't be relied on in your individual circumstances, but rather you should seek individual legal advice. Thanks for listening.
And I should just expand on that. I know that generally we just talk in generalities, and that's true. And with the wills in particular, the ones that we're talking about today, they're all true stories. They're all people that have contacted me, but we might have put two or three bits together and we probably haven't got the whole story. So please don't take this as just gospel truth. If any of these apply to you, please go and talk to a legal counsellor to find out. Now, and also one of the things that we're not doing is we're not here as counsellors and we're not here to judge upon people's relationships in the family, because this next little one can be a bit of a doozy, but how it got to this situation is absolutely nothing to do with us. Madeleine is only going to be talking about the legal aspect, so let's get that set. Madeleine, I've never ever heard of this, but a young couple married again, young. They had three children, I think they said, and those three children were growing up. When they were around their 20s to 25s, their mother got breast cancer and died. Sad case. Well, nothing went wrong. I mean, she just died. So when Mum and Dad did their wills when they were fairly early married, one of the conditions was that they be buried together in the same grave, was what we were talking about before. Didn't want to be cremated, wanted to be buried together. No problems. They go along, Mum dies, I buy the plot, I put Mum in the plot. Get along a few years and Dad meets another woman and thinks, oh, yeah, well, I'm still young. So he remarries. Now, she's got children. The children have got nothing to do with the whole thing, so they go along. I think this has only happened very quick because I think this is right in the middle of a process right now. So Dad passes away, I presume only the last few days. So stepmum rings up the kids and says, well, you know, we've got to organise a funeral and you need to organise to stick Dad in with Mum. So stepmum gets a phone, or his second wife, sure it is, gets a phone call a couple of days later and says, nah, we've met as the three of us. We're not having him. He went off and married you. I presume that didn't go real well, but that's not our problem. It's still the legal side we want to talk about. So we're happy to be part to the funeral, but he's not coming in the grave with Mum. And Mum would not have wanted him if he'd have known he was going to marry you. So the kids say to the stepmum, you can have him, he goes in the grave with you. And she said, oh, no. My first husband was my sole partner. And the only reason that I married your dad, the sole partner had died. Mm-hmm. She said, I loved your dad, but hey, he's not coming with me. I'm going to be buried with the with my first husband. So, what happens? You've got a bloke floating around. No okay. one wants. So, okay. so who can I can?
First, I
didn't ask the question, but I assume the executor of the mum's will and the dad's will of the first marriage are probably one or two of the kids.
Right, so, and he didn't have a recent will, so he hadn't made another will.
I think he changed the name of the wife in the new will because I think the second wife got some of the assets. I don't think that's the issue. It's the issue about the kids don't want him.
Yes.
Even though the will says, and they say, yeah, but mum wouldn't have agreed to that if they'd have known you're going to remarry this lady.
Okay, well first thing to note, I mean, the question is who is the executor in his current will? And if he made a new will, first of all, his will was revoked by the second marriage.
Yep.
The original will was revoked by the second marriage, just right. by legislation, whether he made another one or not. That first will goes once he remarries.
Would he then be classified as having no will if he hasn't done a second one?
Yes, that's right. And that's where the problems do come in as to who is entitled to take charge before it's been decided who has the greatest interest. Now, right. by that I mean if there's no will, there are intestacy laws that apply.
Right.
And the person with the greatest interest is... if he hadn't married again, it would be his spouse and then his children.
Yep.
But since he has married again...
And the first spouse is dead anyway.
That's right. So he has married again, so it's his... Well, it's his... And he has children, but not with that woman.
Yep.
Then it's half to her and half divided the between the children.
But then the kids don't want him in the
that's
grave.
That's right. So it depends on who's going to step up and apply for letters of administration of... Somebody must want his assets.
Yep.
But it is a murky area and it's a murky time because until such time is appointed, technically state trustees is the holder of the assets
right.
until someone steps up and says, I'm going to be applying for letters of administration.
So what happens with his body in the meantime?
Well,
it floats around.
Yeah, well, it somebody has to step up or else, yeah, I really don't know what happens if absolutely nobody does. I suppose the funeral... The person who applies for the death certificate, somebody has to do something. Even if it's the doctor, you know,
right.
would have to have put his name as the applicant for the death certificate or something.
Right.
There has to be someone who would do something, and then it would just go to a funeral parlour and they would decide. But
then
usually,
who would decide where he goes?
Well, that's right. It has to be the person who's going to apply for letters of administration. Unless it's gone to the coroner's court, in which case they would release it to the next
right.
of kin.
So
actually, I've got a list here of...
Let's just go one step further.
Yeah.
Supposing he had made a second will with his second... And the second wife, but he still put in that one that he wanted to be buried with his first wife, and the kids say, no, we don't want you. Where does he go?
Yeah, well...
Probably in a grave by himself, I suppose.
If that's right. It just anywhere, you know. If they're saying no, they can't literally drive him in, and unless they got permission from the cemetery's trust, the actual funeral, the cemetery. It is a tough one. You told me it'd be a tough one.
I've never heard of it.
If they're saying no, and the cemetery agrees with them,
uh-huh.
we're not going to enforce this. We're not going to get an order, or we won't take him. You'll have. Uh-huh. I mean, ultimately, somebody, if they felt strongly enough about it, could go to the Supreme Court and get an order that he is buried there.
Would they enforce that then if he hasn't got a will? Because if he hasn't made a second will,
yep.
then he hasn't got a will, has he? So how
That's
do you
right.
enforce something
well,
like that?
Well, it's got to be that person who would take the steps to get an order. And if there's no order and the cemetery... says, well, I'm taking instructions from the children. It would depend on arrangements that had been made with the cemetery too. If it had all been paid for,
yep.
they probably wouldn't want to say no. So there's an argument coming between the children and the cemetery then. And I suppose it would depend on how strongly the children felt
sure.
if they wanted to get an order.
I'm told they just don't want him in there with mum.
I think that would probably stand as his children, unless, as I say, the cemetery said no, it's been paid for. We're not going against what what we said we'd do, but I doubt they'd go that far to protect an intention that was expressed so long ago.
All right, we'll take a quick break. I think we've probably done it. I was going to say done it to death, but we're all right, you're listening to the Voice of the Valley, Yarra Valley FM 99. And I have Madeleine and Helen here from Hutchinson Legal, and we talk all things legal. We've been really getting stuck into the wills a bit. I think we'll change the subject in half a minute.
Helen will get a turn in a second.
Yeah, she, poor old Helen sat there and has his bat. While you're here and you are a specialist on wills, I thought it would be a great way to do it. Out of the sort of the amount of wills that you would see in a year, or I was going to say over your lifetime, but you know, you're not that old, so you haven't seen hundreds of, or thousands of them, what percentage would off the top of your head, would you say that wind up in legal challenges? Half?
That's a good question. No, not half, no.
Third? They can't hear you.
No, there's a hell of a lot. I've done a lot. So yeah. I would have to say the figure's probably lower than that. And
20%?
Yeah, maybe 20, maybe even less. But, I mean, then there's the opportunity to settle them really early. If you've got skilled lawyers,
All right.
they can be settled.
Out of those that go to that are legal challenge, what would be the biggest reason they challenge them? Is it people that think they've just been left, not left enough money?
Yeah, just quickly, there's two bases. The further provision legislation that I talked about before, which is set types of people and set considerations. But there's also setting aside the whole will, and that can be done on the basis of lack of capacity or lack of knowledge and approval of the will or undue influence. So that's different from just applying for further provision under the will. So a lot of people, out of the three reasons to set aside a will, would be that mum didn't have capacity to make it when she left it all to one child.
Right.
That's probably the one we see the most. Right. Yeah.
Helen, you've got some way with people, how they can get all their stuff together, and so tell us all about it, please.
Yes, Alan. So we have something, what we term a when I'm dead folder, which sounds a bit unsettling.
Why don't we be dead? Yeah.
But it's a really useful thing, actually, and it's a really loving thing to do for your family and friends. And I think from your perspective as well, you don't want any of your hard-earned assets to kind of be forgotten or to be looked over. So a when I'm dead folder is just it's helpful for it to be physical. So if it's physical, it means that your executor or your family don't actually need a password to computer to access it.
And I guess they all need to know where it is too, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly, yes. But because it contains sensitive information, Alan, it's good to only let one or two people know that you trust where it is and to keep it safe.
Well, it's your executor mainly. Mm. This when I'm dead folder is for your executor. That's the main purpose of it. So that when they have to start administering your estate, they know exactly what they're dealing with.
All right,
and how to get access to information.
All right, so today I'm going to go, I haven't had a will in the past, so I'm thinking, well, I better go and get a legal done. What do I look for in the executor? What do I look for in an executor,
well,
should I say?
That is a really good question, and I'm sorry to keep taking over.
That's
okay. But we encourage people to appoint their children if they're lucky enough to have children, and not to choose one over the others, but to appoint them all. You can.
But what if you got, say, four or three?
Well, you can legally, four people can get probate, and you can even appoint more than that, but only four would be given probate. But what can happen is, say you did have four children, you can, between them, they can choose one to do it or two to do it, and the others can be reserve executors. But where the trouble starts is where people appoint one as their instituted executor and one as their substituted, and two are left out in the cold.
Yep.
And that's where the minute people, you know, children are not appointed, they get a bit antsy if they haven't got the same information.
All right, so there's three kids and we're not all families get along really well.
Mm.
So two says, no, we're going to do this. And the third one says, well, I'm an executor and I say we're going to do that. Does majority rule or what happens?
No, it ends up in court if they really can't agree. If they're all appointed as executors and they really can't agree, one or other of them will have to get a court order.
So it's not going to be just personal, is it? Not going to be 2 out of 3.
No. So I guess that's where if parents really know that it's going to end up like that, then they probably would be better to appoint one.
Yeah.
Rather than have
an outside person.
Yeah, that's right. That's another consideration, a sibling or a lawyer. Yeah. In a normal family where everyone gets along, I'm always saying to people, they'll say, I want Jodie because she's in good with figures. I say appoint them all, they can sort it out between them because it just makes for arguments if they're excluded.
Fair enough.
Unless it's all talked about before it's done.
All right.
That's another thing.
Well, but there was something else we were going to talk about, overcharging rats.
Yes. So recently there's been new legislation, Alan. Yep. So the Minister of Health has put out that it's going to be illegal for people to do price gouging on rat tests.
Because they could have done anything for a while, couldn't they?
That's true. Yep. So you can't actually charge more than 20% of the original price, the retail price. And actually they're looking for people to report these sellers or businesses who are actually overcharging.
Well, how do we know what the retail price is? What's the price? To know that you're not being gouged?
That's a good question, Alan. I'm actually not sure about that.
there'll be a government regulation to set the price, and then you might mention the penalties.
Yes, so the penalties are pretty harsh.
Are they?
So it can be up to $66,000 in a fine or up to 5 years imprisonment or even both, depending.
Has there been any prosecutions on this so far, do we know?
They're working on them.
Mm.
Really?
They are investigating some people who, particularly over Christmas, where they were just unobtainable.
You wouldn't want to be the first one in court, would you? Because you could get really hit hard.
I think COVID's opened up a whole lot more avenues for prosecutions, whether they've gone all the way with them yet. There were people not observing curfew and all that sort of thing. Right. There's a lot of probably pending prosecutions.
Be interesting to see with the curfew because some of those, I'm not sure whether they're ever going to be resolved, to be honest with you.
Mm. No.
Madeleine, we chopped over the executive pretty quick because we need to get on to something else, but apart from appointing your children, are there any don'ts that you should do with executors?
Yes. So one to really watch out for is not to appoint children or whoever it might be who's resident overseas and doesn't pay tax in Australia, because that will incur certain problems in administering an estate, such as if there's property, the foreign resident capital gains withholding tax will apply. You might lose your 50% capital gains discount if you sell after 2 years, because there's an exemption on a principal place of residence for 2 years, but after that capital gains tax might kick in.
Right.
And if you're a foreign resident, you might lose your 50% discount.
You mentioned also, I don't want to cut across you, I just had a thought. You mentioned having, when we talk about executives having the children, you said also, maybe one of your siblings. But, there's a bit of a problem with that. So maybe your sibling is your age and they might pop off earlier than you do, and all of a sudden, let's open that a bit more. Supposing I appoint Joe Blow, and he's a lot younger than me as an executor, but he pops off and no one does anything about it, he still lists as an executor. What happens to Will then?
Well, you are always encouraged to have backups, alternate executors.
Yeah.
So there's hopefully at least one or two people who could take over.
Well, I'm going to be the devil's advocate. I don't want to give you a hard time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't. I've only got one and he's popped off. And all of a sudden I pop off and they go read the will and they say, we've got a problem here. That bloke's dead.
Yes. Okay, so if there's nobody left that's been appointed, then it'll be the person with the beneficiary with the greatest interest in the will who can apply to be administrator, and they apply for a grant of letters of administration with the will annexed.
Who to? To the courts?
To the Supreme Court. So it'd be just like a normal probate application that an executor would have made, but it's from a beneficiary.
But they wouldn't have to appear in court, would they? Would it just be a formality, fill out a form?
Probate is just a process, but if there wasn't an executor to do it, a person who's most likely, who's named in the will as the greatest beneficiary, could step up and make the application.
Because that could happen, couldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially in really old wills.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say review every 5, renew every 10.
Yep.
It's better to keep your will up to date.
Yeah. Helen, have you got anything else? We've cut you out. We've got about 30 seconds to go. Is there anything that you want to say before you go?
Not particularly, Alan, but thanks for having me. I've enjoyed listening to Madeleine and all her wisdom.
Yeah, well, I really did promote that fairly heavily that we wanted to talk about wills because it's not very often we have someone that's got a particular expertise and it's pretty silly if we sit here and talk about motor cars and all that sort of stuff and when we had someone and there were some fascinating calls. I mean, we didn't just have the 3 calls. I had a lot more than that, but I knew we couldn't talk about them all, so we just put them together.
You could save them for Jason, who's actually an accredited specialist by the Law Institute. So
you're the will specialist.
Well, I work in the wills area. I'm not accredited like he is.
Look, ladies, it's been terrific having you. Thank you very much for your time. Unfortunately, the news is here, and we'll look forward to seeing someone from Hutchinson Legal on the second Wednesday of next month.
Thank you very much,
Alan.
Thanks.